You are listening to the Body Charge Podcast, and I'm your host, Sandy Sanderson. Welcome to the Body Charge Podcast. Today's topic is managing hormone balance, bone health, and body shape. Excessive weight gain can be a depressing challenge for many who grapple with hormone imbalance or other stresses that overload the body. It can become even harder for women after menopause to maintain a healthy weight and body shape. Obesity can also lead to other diseases, conditions like osteoporosis and heart disease. Therefore, it will shorten our lifespan. It can feel like a revolving door of entrapment with yo-yo dieting, which returns to the same predicament of excessive weight even when not actually overeating. My special guest today is Angela Bayer, a renowned personal trainer, nutritionist, and health coach who works with high-level athletes, businesses, and those looking to turn their health around sustainably. After triumphing over her own personal health challenges, she became passionate about sharing this knowledge with others and founded House of Shape, which offers women the guidance they need to maintain their fitness goals. So welcome, Angela. Lovely to have you on the Body Charge Podcast.
Oh, Sandy, thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
My first question is, I'd really like to know about your personal journey and what led you to discover the secrets of getting out of that revolving door of weight gain. You drop the weight, you get the right weight back. You know, how do you move out of that syndrome?
Mm-hmm. Very good question. To be honest, it was hard and painful. What happened was I gained, like in college, the traditional, you know, like 10 pounds of weight. Back in the days, I lived in Germany. And what happened was whatever diet I could find, whatever magazine I read, and it praised the newest and quickest and fastest diet, I was on it. And to be honest with you, I tried, you name it, I did the diet, and I yo-yoed up and down, not knowing that I was destroying my healthy muscle tissue, not knowing that I was compromising or destroying my metabolism and my gut health, until I hit a wall and got really sick. So I ended up in the hospital with major health issues. I got questions with eating disorders. I didn't have an eating disorder, so to speak, but food was not my friend. I battled it, and I always talk to myself, I'm the one, the only one who just looks at food and gains, and everybody else can eat. So this was a real mental struggle and physical struggle. And what I did, I went back to school, got my nutrition degree, just to learn how to do it properly. Learning about macronutrients, micronutrients, how it works in a body, the chemical reactions, basically. We are like all chemistry, and it's very interesting how little things can really make a big difference and can move the needle. So I got into competitions, bodybuilding competitions. So I was competing in Germany in smaller shows, but I was able to create a healthy body through diet and exercise. And I just enjoyed the journey, seeing if I change the diet, if I do this, if I work out, how I can sculpture my body, how I can improve my health and get more energy and all the other benefits. So what happened then was I hit a wall in my relationship, and I needed a change. I quit my job and went to the States, fell in love with the States. And long story short, I was a banker and ending up in the States as a banker, doing a little internship, and I wanted to get a work visa, which I couldn't. And my attorney, immigration lawyer at the time, said the only thing I can stay is if I have special skills. I said, the only special skill I have is I lift things up and put them down. I'm really good at bodybuilding, really good. Yeah, so she said, okay, if you can get a world champion title in bodybuilding, then you get the green card. If you represent the United States on a big stage, yeah, you're good to go. And At that moment, I was like, I thought she was joking, but I said, okay, let's get the journals out. I wrote everything down. I was very into it. Like I said, I did a diet and I watched my physique. I did my measurements. I was paying attention of what I was doing and how my body was feeling.
You were
and
learning about your body. Yeah. It's,
yes,
because
absolutely.
everyone is different, isn't it? I mean, one t-shirt doesn't actually fit all. We
Oh
have
my goodness. Oh, you're so right on this one. I wish when I work with my clients, I can pull out a piece of paper and give it to them and say, that's what you're going to do. No, you're absolutely right. So everybody is different. Every background is different. It's even important how you grew up. That's a different microbiome. That's a different digestive system. Yeah, your just your lifestyle in general. And this is also what I think is so beautiful. It's a dance. So when we start on our health journey, we start out, we create a baseline, but we are always changing and moving. And yeah, just by getting older, we have to adjust and it's not the same. And this is the beauty of it, that we can always adapt and make it better and fix it. Like there is not like, oh, this is a lost case. Never.
Yeah, that's very encouraging, very hopeful. Because I do have a few friends who have tried what works for many others, but still they don't fall within the mainstream. And
Right.
I guess it's about learning. You know, there are genetics that play into it. And some people sometimes overeat because of it's a self-pacifying, it's a comfort thing because they're dealing with stress or something emotional. And then, you know, they go to the fridge, but not necessarily being hungry, but needing to pacify emotions. So there are many different reasons why people may have excessive weight. What I did want to focus today on is if you don't have those psychological issues at play or not much of them, but it's more a question of, as you said, your age, hormone changes as you age, which then affects metabolism. So tell us how that works.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting because we always look at the whole problem from the wrong side. What I see is women focus on, oh, my hormones, menopause, my hormones are off. Or, oh my God, I have so much body fat. How do I get rid of the body fat? So we are focused on this. But the reason why this happened is because we didn't take care of the quality of our muscle. So it's women are not like overly fat, or their hormones are not all of a sudden not working anymore. What happened is sarcopenia kicked in, and sarcopenia starts in your 30s. You lose 1% of muscle every year. So it goes very slowly, but at one point you have so much muscle loss, or the quality of the muscle is so bad that the communication with your endocrine system is not there anymore. Meaning the muscle regulates your hormones. The healthier your muscle tissue is, the more quality you have, the older you get, the less hormone problems you're going to have. So it's a different take on. Now, what happens is if you're at that point, you gotta kickstart and replenish the muscle as much as you can. Interestingly, when the hormones are down, your metabolism is down.
Yes.
It goes hand in hand. Okay. So most women who have problems with their hormone are also insulin resistant. That's a very common thing. It comes hand in hand. So meaning they're not diabetic, but what happens is they are having a high carb meal. They're producing the insulin, and insulin is basically the key, what opens up the muscle and let the carbs in.
Yes.
So then there's a flux in the muscle. So you're metabolizing the carbs. Well, if the key doesn't work anymore, it keeps floating around. It goes to the liver. It spills over in the liver
makes
and you
fat. Yeah.
Yes, you got it.
But you're still low in energy. You can't use the carbs. You're eating efficiently. It's not getting metabolized.
Correct, because the muscle is not able to get the carbs in. Yes. Now, how do you fix that, or how do you get it going again? And it's not an easy solution, but you gotta lift heavy weights. And women have a hard time with strength training because they think of building a lot of muscle, being at the gym with and power lifters and stuff like that. And this is not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is we want to create a healthy muscle tissue, a good quality muscle, where you are able to use the carbs. You got to earn your carbs. So
whatever. Carbs, I like that.
Yeah. Well, it's the truth. So yeah, that's interesting when you.
And then you don't feel guilty, right?
No, exactly. And it's surprising actually how little carbs we need.
Yeah. But how do you weight your diet? Is it like more protein and less carbs, or how do you proportion things out?
Okay, so if you have a hormone balance going on or insulin resistancy, where I see the most success is actually going into a protein forward diet, meaning I make it simple so clients can easily follow the diet plan. I make 3 meals, and the importance is in those 3 meals, you have to have a robust protein portion, meaning the older we get, the harder it is for our body to trigger muscle protein synthesis. When we are younger, it goes with very little protein. So younger people get away with little protein and still are able to perform and build muscle. The older we get, the higher the protein amount has to be to trigger muscle protein synthesis. That doesn't mean, though, we have a higher caloric intake. We don't. So that's the trigger. Like, you can't overeat, but you have to have a robust protein intake.
And it depends on the type of protein, doesn't it? Because as we get older, the digestive system doesn't have as much stomach acid, and we don't produce the enzymes we used to when we were younger. And so, microbiome might be off. We might have some bad gut bacteria that's grown over time. So lots of things can happen with digestion where we're not getting the nutrients out of the food we eat.
Thank you. Yes. So what happens too is, depending on your diet in your 20s and 30s, that determines how your digestive enzymes are. I always recommend, if we have issues, we always add digestive enzymes in at the beginning until the metabolism kicks in, just to help, to digest and break down protein, carbs, and fats. So a good digestive enzyme is always helpful. With gut bacteria, that's another interesting thing. Gut bacteria grows and changes pretty quickly. You would be surprised how fast you can actually cultivate your colon again. Now, what I like, of course, I always want to do it with food first. So it's very important, if you go on a high protein diet, that you have enough fiber. You want to have prebiotics and probiotics. The prebiotics are feeding the good, like, gut bacteria. Mm-hmm. So you cannot ignore that. The more, and that's also very important when we are kind of like stuck with our metabolism. And I catch myself. I love, when you get in your routine and then you have broccoli, spinach, asparagus, and you find that rhythm and you're not changing your vegetables out. What happens is you have a certain bacteria overgrowing and another bacteria cannot grow and cultivate. So you always, always want to rotate and have
different colored vegetables, because they donate different kinds of nutrients. And we need all of them. We need the full rainbow spectrum.
Absolutely. Very important. And again, the nutrients and the gut flora. And when the gut flora is healthy, you're able to absorb the nutrients. So it goes hand in hand, absolutely. And the gut lining also heals. You know what I'm saying? That's why we
those
need
with
to...
IBS and irritable bowel, that's when the lining is very thin and eroded, kind of like a psoriasis on the outside of the skin.
Correct.
It's a breakdown from acids. And so when the metabolism is low and we go from aerobic to anaerobic metabolism, we produce more acids in the body. And this can become hard to detox and to rebalance the pH. And that's when the skin and the colon and the linings of the body start to get thinner and break down. And then that causes a lot of other issues. So that's a whole other podcast.
I want to say yes, but absolutely. So that's why it is very important to switch between a lot of, like you said, eat the rainbow. You always, and that's why, like, I go with seasonal, just fruits and vegetables, and you're covered. It's the easiest thing to do. Just go seasonal. And then what's in season, that's what you're going to eat. So you always have a change. Also trying just different foods, you know, and see how you like them and taste them. It's fun to do, you know, you keep it exciting too. It's not getting boring. So yeah, changing that around is important. And yeah, if it comes to protein, this is a wonderful topic. I always talk about how important it is to have a complete protein. So when we choose protein sources, the older we get, the more important it is to have a protein source which has all the amino acids. You want to have a complete protein to trigger, again, muscle protein synthesis. Every amino acid has a different purpose in the body and different building blocks, what they're doing. But one amino acid specifically is important for muscle health or what triggers muscle building, and that's leucine. Leucine is a branch chain amino acid, which helps you to trigger building muscle. Now, what happens is if you're plant-based or vegan, which is right now, a lot of my clients
trendy.
Are very trendy. Yes. It's not a complete protein, meaning you're not getting enough leucine. You're not triggering muscle protein synthesis, even though you eat protein.
Where do we get it? What kind of foods have it?
Mm-hmm. Animal proteins. Animal proteins are always complete amino acids. Like, they have it all. Mm-hmm. They are completely bioavailable. Then you're covered. So this is like the easiest way. If you say you want to be plant-based, no problem, you can. But you have to combine different plant sources in one meal to make it complete.
Yep.
And if this is too complicated, like I said, it can be complicated. And you really, if you have a metabolic issue going on, you want to make it as easy and gentle to maintain it and to get going and to fix it. So I always tell my clients to switch to some animal and be gentle if they have a hard time.
Yes, and go organic where possible. Yep.
Absolutely. Organic, grass-fed, pasteurized. Yeah, all of it.
And where you also get the good fats, because fats are very important for the nervous system and the brain.
Yes. See, this is another point. With the plant-based sources, you have a little bit too much of the omega-6 fatty acids, mm-hmm. and they overpower the omega-3s. And it's so important, especially if you're in that state, to have enough omega-3 fatty acids to fight inflammation, brain health, joint health. It's such an essential amino acid, fatty acid. So I always go and add some fish in it. So you want the fish oil. If not, yes, you can take a supplement. I mean, you can add that to it too.
Yes. So I like to eat a little bit of everything. As you said, it's more fun.
Yes, exactly. And I always try to do everything through food first. But then if it's not possible and to cover your bases, I like to work with some supplements, depending again on the client and what they're interested in and how their diet is and how their lifestyle is. And if they have no time in the morning, and the first meal, it's not what time, but the first meal, again, That's when the body is prime. That's when you want to have a good protein. If it's a protein shake and this is the only option you have, well, go with it. Have the protein shake. You know what I'm saying? If you can't sit down and have a breakfast, because yeah, here everybody's on the run in the morning. So
yeah, well, that would suit me better because I actually can't stomach solid foods too early. I like to drink liquid breakfast. And then I eat within an 8 hour window. So I'm fasting for 16 hours out of the 24 hour clock. And that suits my digestive system better. So everyone is different. And I think you've got to practice a little bit with some trial and error to find out what you can best cope with.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think it's such an important point. Back in the days, I don't know if you remember, like I remember when I had small little meals all day long and we have to have small meals and yada yada. Worst thing you can do.
I remember those days.
Yeah, good. Well, it's not that long ago, but it's the worst you can do because you need to give your digestive system a break. Absolutely. There has to be a certain amount of time where the body can just heal, recover, and digest and rest. I mean, this is so important. And again, having the structure with the three meals, you can play around with fasting windows much easier. Two meals, totally fine too. You can break up the protein intake, for example, in two meals, breakfast and dinner, so to speak. And you totally find the body can handle it very well. I get a lot of questions from women if they work out, if they have to have a meal right after the workout for better recovery and for better muscle building. And so they're not getting sore. And that's a myth. You really don't. The importance is that you have the protein intake for the day really like in. You do not want to skip a meal and cut it short, but the timing basically is not that important, which is interesting, but just a little side note, it doesn't really matter.
I do find timing does play a part insofar as we need to be relaxed when we're eating, because yes. Under stress, we're in fight or flight. There's not enough blood circulation going to the stomach for all the work the stomach has to do. So everything is slower with digestion. If we're eating on the run, as they say, that's not very good for you.
The worst you can do, it sits way too long. You literally have no digestive juices. They're gone. Like it sits too long. You get acidic, very toxifying. Yeah. And of course you get more tired. Because it just sits there and you're not getting a proper digestion. Yeah, absolutely right. So meal timing in that regard, being in the present moment and enjoying your meal, very important. Yes, that's has a lot to do with stress management and being on the run and not taking care of yourself is a huge problem. So what I do with my clients is basically setting up a self-care plan. And we'd go with small steps. And if one step is to actually make time for meals, that's huge, yeah. Huge improvement. Yes, yes.
But a lot of executives would be nodding their head, I would imagine, you know, because time is money and, you know, you've got to, they don't allocate enough time for self-care, I've found with the people that I deal with. Yes. They're last on the list.
Yeah,
they need to be first.
Yeah, yeah. But, well, if you're not taking care of yourself, you cannot help anybody else. It's so important. So making the time and for your meals and enjoying them, huge. And you will even this makes a big change in your metabolism. Yes. Meditation, for example, is another good one, or breath work. Of course, because like you said, sympathetic nerve system, parasympathetic nerve system, you yep. want to be relaxed and you have to ground yourself. Absolutely. Yes.
Yes. And it's when the cells repair, it's when all the good things happen is during relaxation and rest. And if we're constantly on the go, you're constantly churning through a lot of magnesium, and that causes excessive magnesium loss in the urine as well. So when you say meditation and prayer and yoga and all of those very calming, relaxing activities help preserve your magnesium, help your cells function better.
It's
Very
very
important to have that balance, yeah.
yes. Talking about magnesium, very interestingly, two out of three Americans, I just know the states, are magnesium deficient.
I think in all the Western world, where we're on that mouse treadmill of constant activity, and time goes so fast, and there's never enough time in the day, and you have to work faster and harder and faster and harder to pay the bills, you know, it's just a cycle of stress, and people need to stand back and go, okay, I need to readjust and analyze this and replan my life so that I can live longer well, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's another interesting thing. When I take care of my clients, I take care of their health span, not so much about their lifespan. The lifespan, the average lifespan in the United States is 79 years old. The average health span is 69. You have like a huge gap where people are not, no, excuse me, it's 63, it's even lower. So there is a huge gap between health span and lifespan, meaning the last years they're suffering, they cannot take care of
a lot of
themselves.
disability, yeah.
Yes. And don't you want to enjoy your grandkids? Don't you want to travel? Don't you want to play tennis? Don't you want to do the things you always love to do? Or just even being able to grow grocery shopping and be independent? Like, this is such an important thing. And that's why you got to take care of yourself and make those steps.
And
Yes.
even people in their golden senior years can do a little bit of exercise.
Absolutely.
You know, in the garden, just, you know, they may not need to have to go to the gym, but learn how to do exercises that you can cope with that still maintain good muscle. As you said, that it's very important for weight training for the muscles, but also the bones benefit.
Oh, yeah.
So to keep strong bones is another great benefit of doing that regular exercise, good diet. Everything needs to come together, doesn't it?
It does. And see, the thing is too, the body always adapts. So if you have a lot of muscle loss, you're not carrying a lot of active tissue. So the bones adapt and they get less. The body doesn't have to have strong bones. So they get brittle. And the stronger your muscle tissue is, the more or the stronger your bones are going to be. You know what I'm saying? It goes
Yes.
hand in hand. The muscle communicates with the metabolism, with the endocrine system, with the bones. Huge, huge, huge. I mean, you cannot ignore it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'm sure we have a lot more to talk about, and I'd like to do this again in the future, and we'll split off on a little sidetrack next time, because there's so many things to discuss with this particular topic. But if people are interested to learn more, where can they connect with you?
Oh, yeah. They find me on Instagram, Health Coach Angela. Then I have a website. It's houseofshape.com. And I also have a Facebook group where we like have a safe space where we can share our problems and our successes. And
nice.
Yeah, we exchange our views and help each other out. Yeah.
It helps, isn't it, to sort of have a friend that you can talk about your
Oh,
problems
yeah.
to, in a
Supportive.
safe space. Yes, very
Yeah.
supportive, and it feels like you're not alone and isolated. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you very much, and hopefully we'll see you again soon on another podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much, Cindy, for having me. It was a pleasure.
I hope you like this conversation and will share it with others. Hear more from Body Charge on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to our newsletter to get updates on blogs, podcasts, videos, and magnesium special offers at electromagnesium.com.au. Relax, recharge, and recover.